Session number 8281, reel 2.
Mr. Wharton, reel 2.
I think that the regular officers of the 5th Battalion, who'd been out possibly for some years before the war, they were obviously more experienced in the climate and in conditions in the bush and in the jungle, and therefore I myself was completely inexperienced. And the first night when we encamped on the way up from Nairobi to join our battalion in the Northern Frontier District, a place called Marsabit, we camped the night in the bush, and which was for me a completely sleepless night, with lions roaring and wild animals and noises going on all night, which was petrifying. But and that was the source of amusement, of course, to the regular soldiers. But we soon got accustomed, like they were, and within a very short time we were immune to that sort of those sort of conditions. We were quite used to them then.
What happened to you at Marsabit?
We were Marsabit was a hill, quite a high hill, like an oasis in the desert, and it was quite cool up there, but down below you could see the desert. And so while we were there, we sent out small patrols, but there was no question at that time of us being, I don't think, in contact with the enemy. In fact, I had an uncle of mine who was a lieutenant colonel in the First War. He was in the desert down below the mountain with a band of Abyssinians of the Habash, and he was a long way in front of us. And I remember that he used to send messages to the brigadier for supplies, and this caused some amusement, as his messages were sometimes quite on the curt side. They caused quite some amusement, and I was asked whether I was any relation to him at the time.
Did you confess to it?
Which I confessed to and caused more amusement. However, he was a very tough man, my uncle, and he was always way ahead in Abyssinia than the regular troops, right up to almost Addis Ababa.
Did you have much contact with the Italians at Marsabit?
No, none at all.
What were your duties there?
As far as I can remember, it was a good viewpoint, and just patrolling, and I would imagine getting accustomed to the troops and learning their ways, and generally getting established in the battalion. And we were allocated to the units, platoon. I think I was in B Company, and was took over a platoon in B Company. And so we got to know each other, and more training. That was really what the life was like there for about a month or 6 weeks, I think.
What happened after that?
Then we moved down to a place called Garissa, in the Northern Frontier District of Kenya, and further ahead, I remember the South Africans were making a road with their machines, and we went up there. From Garissa, the road led into Italian Somaliland, and after a month, I think, there, sometime early in 1941, in the first quarter of 1941, we moved forward into Italian Somaliland.
What was the purpose of the road?
It was to get the heavier equipment through, because the roads were not really passable for lorry traffic. To make the road easier for supplies coming up behind us, I presume was the intention.
Had the Italians attacked the British positions in Kenya?
No, not when I was there. They had before, I understand, but not while we were there, no.
What kind of impression had they created with their attacks?
Oh, they created quite an impression, because all that was defending in that time was, Kenya is a large country and there was only the battalion, so it was a matter of a platoon here and a platoon there. I understand there was quite a fight at Moyale, which the Italians overran, and we had to withdraw because they were in such large numbers, but this was some time before we came out. So I don't know about anything else, but we started in the beginning of 1941.
And what happened to you personally next?
Well, my battalion was, I think it was only our battalion there, not the brigade at that time, or the brigade was the other two battalions in the brigade were in reserve, and my battalion was pushing forward with the objective of Mogadishu, I understand, which is Italian Somaliland capital, and branching off into British Somaliland and Abyssinia. I think my geography is right, because it was Abyssinia that we eventually entered.
Can you describe what happened to you personally?
Well, at Afmadu, I can remember it was the hottest place I've ever been. There were skirmishes there. There were skirmishes before, and we pushed them in the bush, which really the visibility was only a few yards in a rather thin bush, but the visibility was very restricted, and so we didn't see many Italians, but obviously they had been around, because fires were left and the tents were left. I mean, they just upped when we came and were off. So in that, and we fired, a lot of shots were fired, but very few casualties we had in this first advance, very few at all, as far as I can remember. Then we went, there was quite a battle just after Afmadu, in which I think another battalion, we had advanced up to there, and further on to Mogadishu, and another of the battalions of the brigade went through, and I think there was quite a battle there, just forward or on the left flank of Afmadu, where I remember hearing of a Royal Engineer officer had gone forward at night into the enemy positions and put Bangalore torpedoes along the wire, and which blew up at around about dawn, and the enemy were overrun, after which we attacked, and the enemy were overrun, and and the advance continued, because that had held up the advance for a day or two, I understand, but we weren't actually involved in that. My company was stayed in Afmadu for about 2 weeks as garrison troops, because it was a fairly central position, and if there was to be any counterattack, they would have to have taken this place, this station again. Although Afmadu in itself, there was very little there, possibly a water hole, and quite a defensive, reasonably easily defended. So, and then after that, I believe, I'm pretty sure, we joined our battalion and continued in the advance.
What happened during that advance?
Well, we went on, as far as I can remember, we went on into Abyssinia.
Long campaign up through Italian Somaliland and into Abyssinia, a hard one or not for you?
No, on reflection it was not hard at all as regards fighting. The climate and the natural conditions and that were fairly hard, but as far as fighting and foot slogging, it was very easy, because we were lorried infantry, and we were carried by lorries to the next defensive position that the Italians had. And then we dismounted and had skirmishes. No, altogether, it was the campaign up into Abyssinia, apart from one or two battles of a not a very horrific nature at all, was really like a cook's tour, and was almost being enjoyable, because the question of the war and the horrifying conditions that one regards war, they weren't there. The Italians were always on the retreat, and almost on every occasion, if you got within 1,000 yards of them, they hoisted white flags. And so it was really a walkover most of the way.
Did any of the Italians fight well?
Well, they were, except in the one position in which I was captured, as a matter of fact, and there were a few Ascaris also captured, they were almost consisted of Italian troops and not their native infantry. They didn't fight at all well. No, it was just a matter of retreat all for them all the time.
Can you tell me now how you were captured?
Yes, I think so. I can remember on reflection the terrain and where we were actually on the ground, but to put it on a map would find it rather difficult. But I think the name of the place was Bubissa, where the battle was fought. We had done a night march right round their left flank through, I think it was fairly, the country was very different to what we started in Somaliland. We were higher up and it was more open country, and they were on a sloping hill, on the forward slopes of the hill, and we had outflanked, and we took a number of small outpost positions that they had in the early morning. I remember that we one position was in a native hut, and they had aerials, and obviously had their wireless post there, and we attacked that, and they hurled grenades out. And I remember one of their grenades, they were very noisy things, but they didn't seem to have much effect, actually landed on my shoulder. And it was a terrific blast, and that's why I'm a bit deaf, or one of the reasons, I think, in my right ear. But we went into the hole of this, there was the entrance to this quite large basher hut, and sprayed it with machine guns and hurled a grenade in, and that was the end of that for them. But this sort of situation happened once or twice until we got to their main position, and then that was well established, a good defensive position, and we were held up. And then the main body of our battalion came up on the front position up the forward slope, and there was a hail of machine gun fire and all the rest of it. They were in we were in an open position, so there really wasn't any cover. So after, I can't say how long it was, it didn't seem very long, but presumably after about 10 minutes or a quarter of an hour of this stalemate going on, we heard the battalion commander, who was with the main body, had given the order to retreat because the bugle sounded, and they withdrew, the main body of our battalion withdrew, and my company commander, who I was with, gave the order to withdraw. My company commander and my platoon were at the front of the flank position, so we were the last to withdraw. And I was the last to withdraw of the lot, being the platoon commander. And we were defending our rear as we went out. And we withdrew. And just before this, I've omitted to say one thing. Before the bugle was sounded, over the top of the hill, we heard a lot of terrific mechanical noises, which very soon was apparent that they had tanks. And I don't know how many tanks, but I would have thought about 6 or 7 at least tanks rumbled over the top of the hill and down their right flank, or our left as we were looking at them, and coming straight at us. So I think that was when probably the retreat was sounded. So off we all went at quite a steady trot, withdrawing. And I thought, as there were bullets whistling all round my feet and the grass was being mowed down, etc., by presumably their infantry and these tanks, that I would take cover. There was a tree just there, so I lay down in this tree, as I was the last one going out, and all these tanks just rumbled past the tree, past me, and by this time everybody else had disappeared. And then there was a cornfield or a high grass which was just where this tree was in, really. So I started crawling through this grass, because there was quiet by then, and the Italian troops were walking about by then, and they'd sent a patrol apparently round to see if there was anyone to pick up after the battle. And when I'd got to the end of the cornfield, which I suppose must have been another 200 yards away, I got up to walk away and walked straight into one of their patrols. So I thought, rather better than perhaps do the one-man act, I thought, well. And so they were running at me at this time, so I surrendered, and they collected me. And there were I'm not sure exactly how many askaris, but they were both wounded, the two I saw, and we were taken back to the Italian lines.
How did they treat you?
Oh, very well. Apart from the fact that they took my field glasses off me, which belonged to my father in the First War, which I was rather annoyed about, they treated one very well.
Did you get the binoculars back?
No, never. Didn't they?
Did they take anything else from you?
No, they weren't in the slightest. I'm not sure if belligerent is the right word, but they were very friendly.
In what way were they friendly?
Well, they fed one well, looked after, and said, "Would you mind not trying to escape, because you're going to sleep in this hut and we're all around you?" So I said, "Well, we'll see about that." But there wasn't much of a chance, because one was locked in this lorry, sort of enclosed lorry that they had as a sort of headquarters, I suppose, or something. And being quite a large body of troops, it must have been a battalion strength, at least, I think, the Italian position. And the next morning we were taken back to Gemma, further into Abyssinia. I think it might have taken us quite a time to get there, about a day, I suppose. But that's what happened.
What impression could you get of the organisation of the Italian army from...
Well, I thought in that particular... Obviously, in that particular incident, they were pretty well organised. And I think they were more... Whether I'm right or not, I'm not quite sure, but I would have thought most of them were the northern Italians. The Alpino type, from North Italy. But I thought they were organised in a much better way than their officers who led their native troops, obviously. Better organised, I would have thought. That was my own opinion.
What, from your position as a PRW behind the Italian lines, what did the mood of the Italian army seem to be?
They didn't seem to say much. I think they were reconciled, quite honestly, to defeat. After all, we'd come well over half the way, and it was, as I said before, like a cook's tour, so they must quite obviously have been reconciled to the fact that they were going to be defeated. I think they were often had their morale boosted, because they used to, I think, tell us when we got back to Gibba, there were other prisoners of war there who we went with also, but they used to tell us what marvellous things were happening in North Africa, and very soon they'll be here again, and that sort of morale boosters they had. But I think as far as Abyssinia went, at that time that we were there, they were reconciled to defeat, I think.
Did they interrogate you?
Yes, I think in the normal way, but I can't remember that, actually, so I imagine they didn't really bother to interrogate one much. So I can't remember ever saying anything.
What did the other POWs say to you when you met them at...
Well, the other POWs presumably the officers were kept in different, but I don't know how many, apart from our two or three askaris. I don't think there were many British POWs. Was a South African Air Force crew of about five or six who'd been shot down, and they were the only people I was with.
Did they have anything to say to you about their treatment and what they'd experienced?
They seemed quite unconcerned about their treatment. I mean, otherwise it was very good. No question about that. We were fed well and had a very nice place where we were kept. Not with barbed wire or anything, in a house. We were sort of started saving up food, you know, to escape. But by the time we'd made up our mind to escape, we'd heard that our troops were just outside Gemma anyway. So I was recaptured by my own battalion.
Did the wounded askaris get proper medical treatment?
Yes, I understand. Yes, they were quite all right and well treated.
Can you describe how you were recaptured?
Well, I think we were, I can't remember the exact details, but we were just told to wait there by the Italians, and they showed our troops, our officers, my battalion, that we were here, and just handed us over. It was really very civilized, the whole thing.
So, did the Italians not put up any resistance?
Don't think so. Not to my knowledge. There was quite a battle that I missed, which was at the Omo Gorge, but I think we lost very, very few casualties. Which the Omo Gorge was a terrific, I don't quite know, I suppose 5,000 feet either side in this huge valley. It's a well-known geographical part of Abyssinia, and I understand they had quite a battle. I think possibly the main part of it was due to the geographical, it was very hard terrain and to do on foot, but I don't think we had many casualties, not to my knowledge. I wouldn't know because I wasn't there, but everybody seemed to be, the battalion was fairly complete when they recaptured me, and my battalion had often been in the forefront of the brigade because we seemed to have got the name that the 5th Battalion was Brigadier Fuchs, who was our Fluffy Fuchs, who was our brigadier. The 5th Battalion was his brigade shock troops. So we must have been fairly well in the advance in the van most of the time.
What happened to you after your recapture?
We garrisoned Jimma, and we had Haile Selassie come to see us and all this sort of stuff. And we were in Jimma for quite some time, must have been for at least a month, garrisoning the place, before we, I think it was at least a month, before we returned to Kenya by a route that had not ever had motorized traffic, vehicular traffic, ever going along that route down to the northern part of Kenya to Lake Rudolph, the Turkana country, into where we eventually, when we arrived in Kenya. But it was certainly a hard route. It was, a lot of time was spent in making the roads passable for traffic, for lorries, and it was quite a hard job for the mechanics to keep the lorries going and to make the roads passable at all. It was really a very interesting journey, which must have, I think, taken us at least a month to get down to Lake Rudolph, where we encamped for about 10 days before we continued down to Kenya, down to Nairobi, I think, in the event. And we were camped on the lake, on the side of the lake where I've never ever tasted such marvellous fish in my life, which was caught from the lake and cooked and eaten for every meal. It was so marvellous fish, great juicy steaks, you know, they really were tasted absolutely marvellous. This lake was also full of crocodiles, huge crocodiles, which never went for man because there were so many fish in there. So we could swim in and bathe in the lake with these huge crocodiles all around. And the Turkana tribe, they just used to spear these fish all amongst the crocodiles. And they were never touched by them, which was amazing and marvellous.